listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 27th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, as is customary, kind of set the stage, so to speak. The first one of the 9 is do no harm, do right. We're going to be expanding on that one tonight. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And if you'd like to read the expanded version of these, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome all those joining us live tonight. We see quite a few in the chat room there. And we also welcome those who are listening to the archives. We appreciate listening in as well. So tonight, the topic basically is the root of all relationship problems. And to get our discussion started off on the right track and to identify the root, Dr. Hunter is going to read a card from our inner oracle card deck. Is it number 5, did you say?
It's number 5 indeed, Law of Control. So it reads, differences are inevitable, diversity is desirable. The law of control says you can't control or change others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you're entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are. You can lobby for change, or you can leave.
All right, thanks. So, as you might have suspect here, the root of pretty much all relationship problems is control, or that is, one person trying to change or control the other person. This all kind of, well, it connects back to do no harm, do right, as I'd mentioned earlier, but it's also part of the life leadership paragon. Life leadership paragon is made up of 3 different traits that create a fourth. Those 3 are self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and they create synergistically create self-completeness. So the idea, and this is just a kind of a brief overview of it, the idea behind the life leadership paragon is you bring those areas into balance in your life, and then that will synergistically create self-completeness, which is the ability to stand on your own 2 feet, know who you are and why you are who you are. So this area of law of control is part of respect for free will, the 3rd trait. And so respect for free will, you respect other people, well, you're not going to try to control them or not try to change them. And as part of this law of control, of just the biggest part is basically giving unsolicited advice. So think about that for a minute. In your own life, I bet that if you look back and you're honest with yourself, most, if not all, of the relationship problems you had in your life has been because you or the other person were trying to change or control the other. I know it's been true in my life that when relationship issues come up, it's one or the other trying to change or control the other. That's what it happens. Now, if you would just stop trying to change or control other adults in your life, you're going to find an amazing change. You really will. And it's the thing that we should all learn growing up, but most of us don't. We don't learn that. So try that. Just make, for the next few days, try not giving unsolicited advice. Don't try to change your spouse, partner, husband, wife, whatever. Don't try to change them. Don't try to control them because they're adults. And I'll explain the basis for this a little bit more, but I want to open it up to Dr. Hunter for her comments if she has any.
Well, I think there's also the flip side of the lack of control. And if you feel like you have lack of control, it's because you've given it away. And very often that means you're being controlled by others. So although, and that can be, lead to an inadvertent way of controlling, which is, I know it's kind of a flip side of everything, but if you've given away your control, letting somebody else control your life, you end up, or we end up finding strategies to find ways to control, which then it's kind of that vicious circle. Everybody's trying to control each other. So when you've given away your control and you find yourself doing that, strategizing, it's then to get back in your body and say, I can only control me. And, you know, what do I hope to achieve by doing this, this, and this? And it gets to be easier to isolate, you know, how we have kind of fallen into our own, being our own worst enemy, really, and little tricks that we played on ourselves and being dishonest with ourselves, if you will, that we just check in. So, like for myself, if I'm trying to regain my own power and my own control, I have to see how I've become a manipulator without even realizing it. And then ask myself every time I have a thought, every time I'm going to say something or do something, is what do I hope to achieve by that? And that helps me check in with myself. Just adding to the conversation.
Yeah, good points. Very good points. So if you think about it, why is this such a big deal? Why is trying to change or control another person the root of all relationship problems? Well, it's because nobody likes to have somebody else run their life. Nobody else likes to have somebody else determine what's best for them and then try to get them to do it. Doesn't that make sense? Nobody wants to be told what to do. We don't want people to tell us how to change, how we should change our lives or change what we're doing or whatever. That's something that each one of us holds. Well, it's private and it's valuable. It's something to, you know, it's a point of pride as a human being. We want to direct our own step. It's freedom is what it is. And we want to respect other people's right to that because we all have the right, the human right of free will to walk our own path, to make our own decisions, to call our own shots. Now, I want to stress, we're talking about adults here. Children need guidance and they need to be raised, right? They need that guidance and they need to be trained and taught. That's true. So we're not talking about children. We're talking about adults. And of course, as the children get older, you want to give them more and more freedom and independence. But let's focus back on adults here. Nobody likes to be told what to do. And so we all have the right to walk our own path without judgment, although that may not happen. People will still judge us at times. But here's the thing. Some people might be saying, well, okay, if I just stop trying to change the control of the people and they stop it, what if we still don't get along? Well, if you keep thinking about that, the reason you don't get along is because you're trying to change or control the other person or vice versa, right? That's the deal. That, and if you just don't mesh with somebody, you know, if you just don't get along with somebody, well, that's going to happen. And, you know, then the relationship ends because you don't have anything in common to hold it together. I mean, that's what happens to some relationships. We come across people, we might even be in a relationship with somebody that we just grow apart, or we just don't see eye to eye anymore. And rather than trying to change or control the other person, we end the relationship. Do the right thing. Do no harm. Do right. And here a week or two ago, whenever we were talking about human sexuality, we were talking about affairs, you know, and that sort of thing. So what is the church's position on having an affair, an outside affair in a marriage? Well, you know, do the right thing. If you're tempted to step out on somebody and your relationship is one that's a committed relationship, in other words, you don't have an open relationship as they go, then end the relationship you're in and then go and create a relationship with somebody else. Do the right thing. But don't try to make somebody be somebody that they're not. Michael, any comments or points you'd like to make on this?
Well, I would just reiterate that in this case, we're really talking about relationships in the romantic sense, largely, you know, people you partner with, but relationships do expand into, you know, friendships and business relationships, and the same rules still apply, so I would just reiterate that, and, you know, setting healthy and proper expectations in a relationship also, making sure that both of you are on the same page, that you both know what to expect from the other, and that goes with romantic, platonic relationships, business relationships. All the rules still apply, but in different ways.
Good. I'm glad you brought up the business relationships too, because that's a different aspect of this that a lot of people may not quite know how to view properly within the context of our discussion. So you go to work and you got a boss. They tell you what to do. Is that okay? The answer is yes. They're paying you to be there and to do a job and to be directed by them. Remember, unsolicited advice. Don't give any unsolicited advice. Well, if you're working for somebody, it's implied that if they're trying to train you or teach you or tell you how to do something for the job, that's not unsolicited. It's implied that it's solicited. You go there to learn a job and to be guided and directed by the leader of the company or the manager or whatever. So when it comes to a job relationship, obviously there are boundaries too. There are limits, but it's generally part of the deal where your boss will tell you what to do, and that's just part of the deal. It's okay. It's the way it works. Now, can they go beyond a reasonable boundary on some things? Of course they can. And that's when you have to put your foot down, stand up, you know, like, especially if they're trying to run your personal life or something, that's out of bounds. It's a boundary violation. And so you can reply, and whenever they might say something, like they tell you what they think you should do, and you say, you know, when you try to direct my personal life, it makes me feel angry or whatever, put off. Can I ask you to not do that again in the future? When you blank, I feel blank. Can you blank? Can I ask you to blank or to not to blank? That's the formula. When you blank, I feel blank. Can I ask blank? So keep that in mind on how to deal with those boundary violations. All right. Any other comments, Dr. Hunter?
Well, I think the law of control, we can look at our lives, as Michael has brought up, in many varied situations. And it really kind of goes along with all of life, everywhere you go. And I think this is the issue, in my view, in all the people I've worked with, is the law of control. Wanting control, feeling that like you don't have control. And it's really about knowing yourself. When you know yourself better, then you don't feel the same need for control. And that's when I like to replace control with management. The word manage, manager, management then isn't quite as hard and cold. It becomes something that breathes. Managing is, how can I deal with this? How can I find solutions? It infers more room, more space. Mm-hmm. And if I can become a better manager of myself then I can, I don't know, I can just see better how I might be asserting control. I think, though, what we can say, it's emotional management, which is having emotional control, like when people say control your emotions or control your behavior, which sometimes we do have to do that. Whether we like to respond in a certain way or not, we have to control that. But if we can learn to replace control with how do I want to better manage a situation like this? So control doesn't kind of feel like that, you know, I don't know, there's a word I'm looking for. It just doesn't feel as harsh. It just feels like I can relax a little bit and it inspires me to learn, study, and grow. That's what it does. Control, it shuts it down. Mm-hmm. So that's where I, in these past years, especially for myself, and once I got a better handle on that myself, helping others to see that too. And it really is, it's quite successful. Just be a better self-manager. Yep. And then you can be a better life manager.
Perfect. Great point. So excellent. So hopefully you gotten some of those. I know we've talked about this before, but maybe not in the exact same way in terms of the root of all relationship problems is basically one or both people trying to change or control the other one. You know, honey, are you sure you should have that second piece of cake? You know, that's a no-no. It's not your job to run them. And that's the thing. It's not our jobs to run other people's lives. It's our job to run our own life and to let other people run their life. Now, if they're doing something that we just can't get around, we can't agree with, we can't wrap our brains around it, then you end the relationship. You're not in a relationship with them. You know, so you accept somebody for who they are or you're not in a relationship with them. That's just the way it works.
I'd like to, go ahead. You just reminded me of a kind of an interesting story. It is funny. And Michael's saying, well, the answer is dependent on if that said cake is a cheesecake. Yeah. And that's funny, Michael. I had a client years ago who was living with a man, married for years. He drank a lot. There was some emotional abuse. She didn't like him very much, but for security and other reasons, she stayed for all those years. And when he got fat, she said, "That's it. I'm out."
that was a trigger, huh?
That was her boundary. I can deal with a lot of things, but being fat's not one of them. And off she went. I guess it was one too many cheesecakes.
I guess.
Anyway.
It's funny. Funny to get started about the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. All right, we do have some names coming up in the chat for cards, and these are our inner oracle self-discovery cards if anybody wants who's come in to listen for the first time. So we have Heather up, if I can just get started here. Heather, we have for you energy signature, and that's number 26. So, I mean, these cards are messages for all of us, but in particular, when we kind of synchronize a name and that energy in pulling it, we hope that it means something to you and resonates in some way in your life. So for you, Heather, this card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what's healthy, remove what's unhealthy. Remember, you can't change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature. Right in keeping with our topic.
Yeah, perfect. All right, who's next?
Dr. Gala, Michael, if you would pick a card.
Absolutely. And for Dr. Gala, I pulled wild card number 9, blank. This is always a favorite.
A good one.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be, it is what you need it to be, and it is everything that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
That's a good card.
Yeah. Sherry, I have one for you, and it's one we have not pulled for a long time. 18, evolution. That's a good message. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Mm-hmm. There we go with that control thing. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort, but fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, your entropy is lowered. So that's a, you know, control being at the root, as you said earlier, Dr. Kelly, it does tend to play into all kinds of facets of our life. And even when we're trying to grow and we're trying to evolve, you know, it's the fear of losing control of the situation as we know it to be, because it's comfortable. And we have to change. So we have to move out of our comfort zone just a little bit and allow the expansion. And then you naturally look back and say, you know, I'm ready to let that go now because I don't need that anymore. And I think it's especially true for certain life skills that we naturally adopt as we're young and growing, and the not so good ones, not so nice. And then say, you know what? I know I have that in me, but I don't need to wear that skill anymore. I can let it go. It's in the back of my mind. It's the back of my cellular memory. So if I ever get in a pickle, I know I have that skill, but I don't need it now. And so we learn to relax a little bit and trust ourselves. That's how I see that expanding evolution.
Good points. All right. I think that was the last card
request.
Yeah, I think that was.
We got a great group in here and not too many people asking for cards tonight. So
well, I pulled one just to see if one needed to be pulled, and I pulled the number one, perfection. So I obviously pulled it for myself.
That's good.
And anyway, let's read this real quick. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by the choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Brace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
This card is, this concept of perfection is such an interesting one. It's fascinating, and it's got the potential to completely change a person's life. It really does. I've seen this happen with our students many times, you know, and a lot of students will fight it tooth and nail, you know, because, you know, people say, well, are you perfect? The automatic response is, no, I'm not perfect. And so many do that. And when I go through and we teach this in the courses, we explain why you are perfect just the way you are right here, right now. It makes a lot of sense. And even still, there are times, not very many, but there are times when students will still fight it and adding conditional statements like, well, yeah, I'm perfect at being me, but that's the only thing I'm perfect at. That's a conditional statement. The fact is that we are perfect just as we are right here, right now. Everything we have done, all the decisions we make and made in the past have perfectly led us to where we're at. Now, if we're not where we want to be, we make different decisions. We make new decisions based on new information. But we are perfect as ourselves. You know, I've thought about this, you know, and I'm sure everybody has. We look back on years ago, you know, times in the past we were young. Maybe we put our foot in our mouth. Maybe we did something that I wish I hadn't have done that. You know, we kind of regret and maybe we feel guilty about it or something like that. But, you know, that's who we were at the time. And we could do no different than that at the time because we were perfectly that way at the time. And we've grown, we've changed, we've evolved, we've done all these things we talk about on every one of these programs. And we're a different person now. And so we do things, you know, the way we are, perfectly the way we are.
We just hope we haven't put it on the internet.
Yeah, always a good one there.
You know, I pulled one just for the group here, and I was actually surprised, all in keeping with our topic, number 44, attitude and disposition. So enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen. You know, so I see that as a good fit in this. You can't control others, but you can control yourself. So how hard can it be to look at myself and look at my life, look at my attitudes, look at my own disposition, be honest with myself, because it's changeable. You know, my basic nature, my inert nature, the things I was born with, you know, whether it's, the fact you got brown eyes and blonde hair or dark hair, whatever, those are not changeable unless you want to dye it. But there's certain things about ourselves that are not changeable. And there are other things that are absolutely changeable. And our own attitude and disposition toward ourselves is where we do have control. And it's so freeing to know that. Dr. Angie says, I think seeing ourselves is harder than seeing others. You know, that's absolutely true. But when we look at others, look, sometimes we legitimately have good reason to be irritated with other people. But then let it go and ask yourself, why did that irritate me so much? Sometimes I look at life and people and things, I say, that's just stupid. And with good reason, I think. And other times, I have to know, we go back to another one of our principles, is what's a preference versus a principle, you know, or a law. And what would be right action, correct action. So again, it's me knowing how to stay true to myself no matter what's going on around me. And what I might, you know, we all encounter really hard times, really difficult times, but don't lose yourself in that, because you are the manager of it. And I know it's easy sometimes caving into depression or having a sad day. And that's normal, feeling, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day who's just on overload and burnout. Well, it makes sense that you're not going to think quite straight. It makes sense that, you know, things are going to get mixed up and you're going to feel emotional and hypersensitive. So what do you need? First of all, you need to take care of your body. You need to take care of, you know, getting some sleep and getting some downtime. And, of course, I'm not giving unsolicited advice in that case. It was solicited. And that's what you have control over. But we all need that reminder, because we're all in this together, and that's how we support each other. So attitude and disposition, that's a big one.
Yep, great points, and as always. And just to kind of round out and finish off this discussion on control, you know, anytime we get upset with somebody or frustrated with somebody or angry at somebody, it's because we're trying to control them. That's really what it is. Now, is that ever justifiable? Well, yeah, it can be. I mean, there are people who do things that are wrong. They hurt other people and it makes us angry. Yeah, are we trying to control them? Well, technically, we don't want them to do that. And that's why we get angry and frustrated, but it's more of a righteous indignation aspect than it is anything. But in the course of everyday life, when we get upset with people or angry, it's because they've done something and we want to change the way they're doing it. Now, again, if you either accept people for who they are, or you're not in a relationship with them. So I just wanted to clarify that. All right, so we've talked about some very important things tonight. Law of control, it is one of the most valuable laws there are. Don't try to change people. Don't try to control people. Don't give unsolicited advice. If you just do that, you're going to have much healthier relationships. We talked about energy signatures, evolution, perfection, attitude, and disposition, and a lot of good points in between. Now, some of you have heard this before, and that's great. reminders we all need. And this is the kind of thing that children should be taught growing up. So help them. And whenever you're in a position to train children or those who ask you for the help and the training, help them to understand how important it is, this law of control. We appreciate everybody's kind attention tonight. Those listening live, those listening to the archives, thanks to Dr. Hunter, thanks to Michael. And again, we'll be back next week. So until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.